No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
You're dialed in to Full Slice Podcast, your podcast for 90s nostalgia, weird facts, and trending stories from across the globe. And now, the hosts of Full Slice Podcast, Kyle and Tyler Seip. Yeah. Welcome to episode 117 Full Slice Podcast.
I like this. This is the first 70s vibe.
First podcast of 2022.
It is.
The last podcast we did was before Christmas, and here we are now, February 19th.
That's too long.
I know. But you know what? This is a good idea.
House hunting, it's really tough.
Well, it's also, we did this on purpose because we wanted to wait long enough for this to feel like a new idea all over again.
Absolutely. it kind of does.
It would be all exciting all over again. So here we are, new show. Yay! Full Slice Podcast,
right.
117.
We're back, episode 117. I wanted to get into discussing something that's actually not concerning to me, but like a big part of my life. I have what I think is a mild form of tinnitus, which is a ringing in your ear that you can't heal.
I'm convinced I have that as well.
I think it comes from I think it's hereditary, which I've learned is the case. You know, our mother was never, you know, blasting metal music and stuff driving around, so I don't think she got it auditorily.
And yet she claims she has it, so... Right.
But I can't... If I don't have something to listen to, so to speak, I can't fall asleep. So I subscribe to YouTube Premium, and there's a number of artists that do ASMR. Not the creepy ASMR, like...
I just more pooped my pants.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. More or less the people that actually like tell stories. Ew. And
ASMR diaper crunching.
Yeah, yeah. There was one, a guy did an ASMR parody of somebody kidnapping you, and he's just he's holding the duct tape. He goes, "Now I'm gonna bound your hands together. I'm gonna put it over your mouth so you can't talk." But no, I like the auditory sensory meridian response. Or no,
auto meridian
sensory response, whatever, however.
Auto meridian Sesame Street response.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Segundo.
Oh, here it is. This is what I was looking for. I was going to do the...
I'm going to tie you up now. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Damn. Guy holding duct tape. Like... No.
Stick.
My ASMR preferences my ASMR preferences are people telling a story and kind of getting you into almost like a guided meditation, kind of like how we discuss with the calm.
Oh
app.
Yes, which I still do every day, and it's like I feel like a completely different person if I skip it.
I need it every day.
Yes.
So the other thing that I've learned is I subscribe to YouTube Premium because I don't like my phone to be on. I want the screen to be off so I can utilize it to go to bed. The algorithms that these apps use, it's just crazy because YouTube, okay, I like to listen to a lot of camping gear reviews.
Like, oh, okay.
Stuff like that. I like, there's a guy is Outdoor Adventures, and he goes on these camping trips with this gear and literally reviews it. He goes out with different food, with different tents, with different sleeping
bags. That's cool.
It's really cool.
That's a great idea.
And he's a nice guy. He's a really good narrator. He's very like well-spoken.
Yeah.
He's very good at what he's doing. His name is Luke. Outdoor Gear Review. I'm going to be going through a number of YouTube channels that I highly recommend right now, none of which are any kind of public thing, but pays or anything.
Yeah, no, it's
but,
just like him.
Right? I just like that he reviews tents, and he'll tell you, don't buy this tent if you're going to camp in less than 20 degrees. Don't buy this food if you don't have boiling water. It's just
okay.
Really cool.
You know, I got stuck into one time was the guys that they'll either have a van or the cab of the cab of their pickup or whatever,
yes.
And they go camping in them.
Yes.
But in like negative 20
yes.
degrees in the middle of a Walmart parking lot in a snowstorm. Like
I
stuff
love
like
that.
And it's like they do these crazy things where they have LED lights lit up all around the edge. They have
right.
And they have the little propane stove to keep them warm. Like they. It's just, it blows my mind. It's so cool.
Imagine watching 40 or 50 of those, and then all of a sudden you're saying, there's not really much left. YouTube thinks, okay, we got to get this guy's money every month. We got to start recommending.
We got to keep him
on the hook. So what they do is they suggest these different things for you to listen to, and sometimes those suggestions come halfway through the night when I'm listening to something. And this is the case. The past few days, I've been documenting the things that have changed. So the other day, I was listening to a... Dollar Store Survival Prep ASMR video where the guy's just softly.
There is somebody that does that. We were going to do that, right?
Softly speaking the things that he's going to, not like in a creepy way, but just like explain, like talking quiet.
Yeah, sure. There's a lot of them. It's not whisper. It's not, there's a difference between whisper and soft spoken. Whisper is the weird ASMR.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and eating, people eating, get the fuck out of here. No way.
I love whipped cream.
Stop. Yes, yeah, the tapping, like the.
Yeah, there you go. So
that turned into the middle of the night, me waking up horrified, having a nightmare about a volcano. I woke up to listening to a documentary on Mount St. Helens. Okay?
A documentary on Mount St. Helens. Where's Mount St. Helens?
It's in Washington. It's an active volcano that blew up in the 80s.
Oh.
So in the middle of the night, it woke me up, and I became fascinated, and I watched the rest of this hour-long documentary. Christy woke up.
So you're just asleep, and you just hear...
Yeah. No, I hear smoke was pouring, but you know what I mean? Yeah. So it woke me up and I'm like, oh my gosh. So here I am in bed and I'm watching on my cell phone this documentary on Mount St. Helens. Christy wakes up in the middle of the night. She's like, what are you doing?
I'm watching a documentary on Mount St. Helens.
I'm learning about a volcano. Go back to bed.
At like 2 a.m. you're just on your phone sneaking. Like, what are you doing? I'm watching a documentary on Mount St. Helens. Leave me alone. So that's the kind of thing the YouTube algorithm just skews you into these different avenues and different corners.
Here's what I learned.
Yeah.
Mount St. Helens, the doctors, the scientists and like...
You know what? That is almost a...
What are they? They study...
Engineers. They're engineers that study...
paleontologists?
Human behavior.
No, that's dinosaurs.
This has no use to you.
What the fuck? Okay. Anybody watching right now, you want to get a clap out of me? What is somebody...
A clap?
What is somebody that studies like a rictrologist?
Human behavior?
No, like earthquakes.
Oh, a geologist?
Yeah.
Seriously?
We're going to go with that.
Do I get the clap?
I get the clap. Yeah. All right, you get the
geologist
clap.
Geologist is what you're trying to come up with?
Geologists were warning the people within a radius of this volcano saying, hey, listen, man, this shit's going off. And 90% of the people...
Ignored them? Or?
No, 90% of the people listened. But there was this guy, his name was Harry Truman, not to be confused with the president.
Right.
This old man who ran the Mount St. Helens Inn. It was like a lodge. And he rescued cats and all this shit. Old man, you know, real rough around the edges, always drank whiskey and soda and all this shit. And here he goes, volcanologist. There we go. Sean
volcanologist.
Boss,
that's it. That's much better. Yes. Good job. Good job. Yes.
So they warned this guy. They said, listen, man. You gotta get out of here. You are right in the path of destruction. He goes, I've been here long enough, because he's been there as long as the volcano has been, 23 million years. He knows.
I know.
And stubborn motherfucker who's pretty much seismologist. That's what it is.
Seismologist.
That's what it is. Thank you. See, we're live.
That gets a cheer. Yes. Seismologist.
Thank you. We salute you, Gun Mick 32.
You have some very smart... followers.
I love my followers.
What a wide range of people.
They're all awesome. See, everybody likes food, but from there it branches off into other shit. I get people messaging me about video games, all this other shit. Thank you very much. You're a very smart man. Or woman. Either person. So this guy, Harry Truman, says, I'm not worried. I've been here all my life. Nothing's ever going to happen. They interview him, and he goes, well, damn it, then, if you think the volcano... The news went to his house, because he was the closest person living to the volcano that didn't want to evacuate.
Yeah.
And they said, this is going to go off in the next year or two. He goes, well, I'll either be dead, and if this volcano wants to take out my house, I'm going down with it. Turns out, there was a geologist nearby that got sucked into the ash and rubble, and they never found any remnants of Harry Truman and all like 80 of his cats. And his house was like halfway buried in like
soot. So it was him.
Mud.
So it got him.
It got him.
That's the thing. That's a very good point you made. It's like, yeah, because he's been there just as many millions of years as the volcano. Here's the volcano's life, and here's his life. Like, there's just one blip. Just one blip.
That's it.
80 years. Nothing. That's nothing on the timeline when you're talking about geology.
He was so smart. Like, he was a businessman. Anybody that can self-make millions is smart. I'm sorry.
That's great. But I mean, he wasn't smart in other areas, clearly.
No. So if you're watching this, go look up YouTube documentary about Mount St. Helens and Harry Truman. Now, the next night, okay? The very next night, I'm watching a video about sleeping in a thunderstorm. Thunderstorm camping's awesome. You ever listen to the sound of rain on a tent?
Yes.
It's very relaxing.
I have, that's
highly suggested.
That's one of the reasons I love the Calm app so much for meditating, because I tried Headspace and I wound up not liking it because Calm lets you pick sounds to play underneath the meditation.
I like
and
that.
And they have one that's rain hitting leaves, and it sounds like rain on a tent. Well, and I love that sound.
This guy that reviews gear reviews waterproofing agents. So it's like all these different sprays and rubs and stuff. So he goes camping and tests these thunderstorm things. Now, think about when you sleep at night. You sleep, what, 6 to 8 hours a night?
Sure.
I'm watching a 40-minute YouTube video. So it's a fucking slot machine what's going to come up after this video.
It's another blip, yeah. as far as time is concerned.
So we're talking about YouTube algorithms and how they recommend videos. So anyway, I go to bed listening to outdoor gear review.
This is the YouTube hole, really?
It seriously is. So I go to bed listening to this thunderstorm tent review. I wake up, I'm having a dream that I'm running through a Walmart, and there's a woman just going, "Oh my God! Oh my God! Ah!" I'm like, oh, and I wake up again. And I hear, it's like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, it's in my earbuds, like blowing my ears out.
And so what started playing while you were asleep?
It was a documentary about a tornado in Oklahoma in 2013, the Moore County tornado, the most destructive F5 ever documented. And the video was of the teacher that came out of the shelter and saw the roof blown off the school and like the whole, and I'm like watching it and I'm like, I have work tomorrow.
Why am I, and my heart's racing now?
And I'm like, I gotta finish it. So I watched it. It was actually like kind of emotional because there was children that died in that thing.
Sure.
But this video, like, I just had this dream, like whatever led up in the beginning of the documentary made me, because there was a family that escaped into a Walmart, sought protection. So in my dream, I was just running through a Walmart.
So it said Walmart at some point.
Yeah. Now that's just one example. I've had dreams where there's somebody, like you talked about car camping. I had a dream that I went through Canada in a Jeep, and I've never been to Canada or in a Jeep. And I'm like, had a full blown dream. And I looked the next day on my YouTube history.
And sure enough,
camp backpacking through Saskatchewan in an 80s Willy. And I'm like, holy fuck, this is kind of cool. I can set myself up for some sort of a dreamscape.
Yeah, for real.
Right?
So I had one instance of that I can actually remember. And it was in high school, and I accidentally slept through my alarm. And my alarm was Preston and Steve in the morning.
Okay.
So I had a dream.
Where did they take you?
I had a dream that was in their studio. But the thing was their studio was on the roof of a skyscraper, and it was all open around the edge. It was really dark.
I know what episode it was.
But it was all open around the edges, windows.
Was it when they went to the top of the Comcast tower together?
No. This was a regular episode, but this is what I pictured the studio looking like. And it was stupid. It was just stupid. My mind was putting some kind of weird scene together.
Put into
of
this.
Like, it looked more like the command center in a submarine than a studio. It was dark, crammed, lots of gadgets all over the place. And it was, but except it was really high up and there were no windows. It was all open. It was just clear. You could see outside in all directions. But I had a dream. I was on the Preston, sat in on the Preston and Steve show. And then I woke up at like 8:20.
Right.
And missed first period or something. Homeroom.
Oh my God.
Missed homeroom. All because, it's so easy for your brain to just take what it's hearing and attempt to make sense of it. Well, that's what's happening.
Forcing the relaxation, saying, okay, we can take this and we can incorporate this into you continuing sleeping. So back to my tornado story, okay? So after the destruction and the blah, 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 like the tornado noises.
What time was it, by the way, when you're watching
2
this?
2 in the morning.
Yeah.
I say, well, I'm going to put this back. I'm going to put it back up on my side table. I'm going to put my headphones in. I'm going to listen to the rest of this documentary. So the documentary ends, and I say, well, what the hell is it going to go to? Is it going to go to another tornado video? What's it going to go to?
Yeah.
It stumbled upon a damn YouTube channel about guys whose they own a company where they recover submerged vehicles in missing person cases.
Oh my God, I've come across them before, man. Isn't that interesting? They're
the
scuba
YouTube
divers.
Channel
They're
is
divers,
called
right?
Adventures on Purpose. They discover, they've done like 16 or 20 different dives where they discovered vehicles and human remains are in the vehicles.
Yeah, the VINs match, the plates match, the make and model, the car match.
Oh my God!
How is that not a TV show?
How is it not? Number one, how is it not a TV show? Number two, a lot of detectives are assholes because they're like, you're not going to do my job better than me. And the third thing I discovered, families of these people, total dicks.
They're dicks?
One guy, his family had a $100,000 reward for him. And these people do it whether there's a reward or not.
Sure.
Found the kid in his car, recovered his car and body, and the family said the reward expired. Sorry, thanks for finding our kid. Took the kid, took the car, gave him nothing.
Well, how long ago was the case?
Was the case open? It was long enough, but it was renewed every year. It was in the paper that year that the reward money was renewed. Every year they put out a local ad.
Huh.
And the guy said, well, I mean, that $100,000 that you put out as the reward
could help towards solving more cases.
Could help us find more missing people.
Sure,
we could buy more equipment. We could pay more people. And the family said, no, thanks. And they took their son, because it's legally theirs. They took their son. They took the car. And they said, well, we're not giving you the reward money. We're talking about the YouTube algorithm. We're talking about a YouTube channel called Adventures on Purpose, where they find submerged vehicles associated with missing persons cases. There was one where a woman fell asleep on a boat dock and her truck just rolled into the water with the dog.
What?
And the husband.
How does that happen? It was just like there's so many cases of people just like losing control and it flies into the water. Or
dude, I've fallen asleep driving. Imagine falling asleep with your car in neutral or your truck. It was a truck that was stick.
Oh.
So like you just let off the clutch or the brake and you're going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It was really what was cool about that whole thing, I wound up watching 3 or 4 different videos. And I watch him in double speed, so it's like,
Jesus Christ, that's helping your ADD, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can get it done quicker. So anyway, and it's also night, so I want to get it done quick.
I gotta go to bed. But I gotta know what happens.
Watching the people get closure was kind of cool too.
Like, oh, sure. I'm sure like most people aren't dicks about it.
No. 90% of the people were not dicks.
But it's nice to know that they get their closure and stuff like that. But I'm surprised that is not a TV show yet. That is so much more compelling than
fucking duck calls and shit.
Than families living in Alaska. The end. Yeah, there's no angle. They just live in Alaska.
Yeah, that's what they do. They're Alaskan wilderness people.
Put money in that. No, follow these people. This is like you. I am hooked on these things. Like they don't realize.
Yes. If you're watching this and you have some really interesting YouTube channel, send them to me. I want to check them out. I'm really interested in it. Don't send me the dumb shit. Send me the good stuff.
So I was thinking about, like, because you told me how you wanted to talk about YouTube algorithms and like you get down the YouTube hole and everything like that.
Yeah.
I came across a YouTube video one day. It had nothing to do with what I was doing because I'm on YouTube watching videos about like video games and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of a sudden this video came up about Mozart. And I was like, you always hear things you didn't know about so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, all right, whatever. Mozart, maybe it could be something for the podcast.
He was not a piano guy. He was actually
Wolfgang
a
Amadeus Mozart. Yeah.
He composed.
Yeah, he composed big pieces.
Like full
you know.
Symphonic orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. Ode to Joy, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
Ode to Joy was Mozart?
Yeah, and he wrote it deaf.
Wow, I am today years old. What, was he and Beethoven deaf?
Yeah.
Today years old.
So anyway.
Today or so, I thought Ode to Joy was definitely Beethoven.
No, I thought, was that? Wait,
Ode to Joy is Beethoven. Who's the guy that knew the seismology shit? Go ahead and help me out here. I'm gonna send some waves out here. Let's say, let's send some waves.
It is. Yeah, you're right. It is Beethoven. Beethoven was the deaf
I
one,
know
wasn't
my
he?
14th century music. Okay?
Well, anyway, you don't know this.
Sounds the 1580s.
You don't know this. This is a very pretty song I will play for you from Mozart.
Oh.
This is the kind of music. This is like hot. This is like, hey, have you heard this?
Yo, this one slaps!
This is in the middle of writing the Declaration of Independence, and they're like, did you hear this shit from across the ocean? Listen to this. Hell yeah.
The seismologist guy goes, fucked if I know. I listen to 90s rap.
So this, you get the idea. This is a song from...
So he wrote this.
He wrote this. Mozart wrote this. This is a song. I'll leave this playing in the background for right now, actually, because... This is a song. I'll say what it's literally called, and you might start to get the idea where I'm going with this. The title of this song is called Lech Mich im Arsch. It literally translates to...
Give me your ass.
Lick me in the ass.
Mozart wrote a song called Lick Me in the Ass?
Lick Me in the Ass is a canon B-flat major composition by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart with lyrics in German. It was one of six of a set of at
yeah,
least...
Yeah, I licked my ass, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It was one of a set of at least six canon compositions he did, probably written in Vienna in 1782. Sung by six voices as a three-part round, it is thought to be a party piece for his friends. The main theme is derived from the final movement of Joseph Haydn's Symphony No. 3, da-da-da-da-da. Anyway.
Joseph Haydn.
Here's the lyrics.
Oh, here you go, folks. Lick my ass, don't lick my taint, so please goes, focus on my bunghole, please.
Lick me in the ass, quickly, quickly. Lick me in the ass, quick me. Lick me, lick me, quickly. Let us be glad, grumbling is in vain. Growing, drowning is in vain, is the true bane of life. Droning is in vain, growling, droning is in vain, vain. Let us be there, cheerful and merry, be glad. Lick me in the ass. Lick me in the ass, quickly, quickly.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about one of Mozart's greatest songs titled Lick Me in the Ass.
It's called Lick Me in the Ass.
And he sang it for him and
his friends. He wrote it, I guess, as a party piece for him and his friends.
Guys, put the cocktail wieners down.
You gotta hear this.
You gotta hear this.
Lick me in the ass. And what's funny is, like, these people are so serious, but they're singing a song called Lick Me in the Ass.
Imagine.
So, apparently, Mozart... I was today years old when I learned that Mozart liked poop and fart jokes.
No!
He did.
In the 1700s?
And there's more proof of this later in the...
Knock, knock. Who's there? Your mother queefs on Asians.
I don't think he went that far. Anyway, Mozart, there was a note discovered that Mozart wrote to his cousin.
The note that wrote
Maria Ann Thecla was the name of his cousin. He wrote a silly poem to her.
Yeah, some poetry. And here's the poem. Back then. Mozart was just one of the boys.
And here's the poem. It was... Shut up. The poem was, "Well, I wish you good night, but first, shit in your bed and make it burst." "Sleep soundly, my love. Into your mouth, your ass you'll shove."
Mozart!
Mozart. Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. "Well, I wish you good night, but first, shit in your bed. Make it burst." Make your bed burst with shit. "Sleep soundly, my love."
Was he rich?
That's a good question. I don't
Did they make
know.
Money back then? For like, yo.
What did they make back
ode
then?
Ode to Joy? Here's some cash, bro. Like,
he got a lot of oats and grain for that song.
Yeah, like, we traded him some wheat.
Instead of actually making money. So I was today years old when I learned that Mozart liked poop and fart jokes. So that was...
Wow.
That's just a couple examples. But lick me in the ass and shit your bed, make it burst. I thought that was so...
That's the lyrics to a Mozart song.
Yeah, Mozart.
Wow.
Mozart. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
So, I guess we could always pull up the Reddit page for today. Today I learned.
So I got an interesting one on my page. My friend Brian reached out and showed that the medicine cap on most medicine bottles unscrews and can like fit into the top of the bottle. I'm not sure why you would need to know that.
What is
or
it?
Like why you'd need that to happen.
Top of all time. I'm just going to do just
okay,
to get
yeah,
right
yeah,
to the
yeah,
point.
Yeah, today years old. We're going to go through some today years old. What were you today years old when you found out?
Okay, so we could dive into some of these, but then I have another longer today I learned that I could do.
That's fine. We're hanging. I learned that.
I don't know. I'm just going to read them. See if it makes anything interesting.
Today I
learned that slaveholders in the U.S. knew that enslaved people were escaping to Mexico. The U.S. tried to get Mexico to sign a fugitive slave treaty, but Mexico refused to sign such a treaty, insisting that all enslaved people were free once they set foot on Mexican soil.
Good shit.
Good shit on Mexico.
Good shit.
Very nice.
Good shit.
So that was the most awarded post on the Reddit page.
That's a good one. Yes. I'll drink to that.
Today I learned that during an interview with Stephen Hawking, the camera operator yanked a cable, causing an alarm and Hawking to slump forward. Worried that they killed him, everyone rushed over to find Hawking giggling at his own joke. He fell forward on purpose to be funny. The alarm was for an office computer losing power. So he's sitting there. He can't even move it. He just goes beep beep.
Oh my god!
That's
Stephen
hilarious.
Hawking
of all people, Stephen Hawking did that.
Do you remember that? Do you remember the Preston and Steve? He died, right?
Who?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, like 2 years ago or
something. Yeah, he died.
3 years ago, maybe?
His book, A Brief History of Time, is one of the most interesting books I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, I believe that.
It actually
I was thinking about reading it.
Because you hear something like astrophysics, and it like totally turns you off and scares you into even figuring out anything about it.
I just think of Big Bang Theory or something.
Well, like, yeah, but I actually took
the movie, not the show, not the theory.
I listened to the audiobook for a week straight. I restarted it when it was done. I restarted it when it was done. I probably listened to the audiobook about 4 or 5 times. And then all of a sudden it started to like, oh yeah, this leap year is because of the
way it yeah, has like to balance
just
equally.
Just cool shit like that.
Yeah. Here's another today I learned. The FBI has struggled to hire hackers because of the FBI's hiring rule that says the applicant must not have used marijuana during the last 3 years.
No hacker doesn't use pot.
So because of that, they can't hire these people, even though these people are proven time again to have the brain capacity to do more than their own people can. Clearly.
There are certain jobs where the people that do it best only can do it high. Did you know that there's such thing called?
I believe that.
Do you know there's such thing called paintless dent repair on cars, where they have these series of long hooks and metal tools, where if you have a dent in your car, they
poke it from the backside,
from the back, and they can like work the dent out. And it's like this metal rod with really strong metal with like a rubber tip.
See,
and it kind of massage it. They heat up the metal without burning the paint off.
Yeah.
But 99.9% of the guys that are truly good at that have to be high to do it.
Focus. That's got to be
and
focus.
Bodymen.
Focus
body
and
maintain. Guys,
and yeah, I believe
car,
that.
Auto
sure.
Body guys, the best dudes that are Bondo guys and best guys that are panel guys, painters, all have to be high. And if you have a policy where you cannot hire somebody that's high, you're not going to get any good hackers.
No, not at all. No, and this, it's just, you could see why more and more every day you see more people going towards legalized marijuana, because they see what it can do for you. Anyway.
Can you break the algorithms of the security system of the Pentagon? Yes. You're hired. I smoke pot. Get out!
Yeah. Sorry. Can't do it. Let's see. Today I learned that the cast of Friends each made $1 million per episode in the final 2 seasons and now make $20 million per year per cast member for revenues on the show. It's syndicated so much.
Wait, they're 6.
The
so that's,
shows...
That's $120 million a year.
The show still generates $1 billion a year for Warner Brothers. All thanks to David Schwimmer encouraging the cast to negotiate as a team instead of individual.
See,
that's what, because remember, that was a big thing, I think, with 2.5 Men, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
With Charlie Sheen,
yeah.
Saying that he wanted to make all or his demands for more money, so they just killed him off.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's one of my favorite.
That's great, man. That's crazy that it still makes that much money all this time later.
So it's no mystery to anybody that's watching or anybody that's followed me that I like to do funny reels. And reels help stimulate growth. They actually bring new people into the page, and I enjoy doing them quite frequently. One of my favorite reels. I'm not a Friends fan. I haven't really seen a lot of Friends, but there was one where he goes, "Yes, put it back." He's telling Ross, I think, is telling Chandler to put something back exactly where he found it. He goes, "Yes, you can see it, but you have to put it back exactly where you found it." And Chandler goes, "Yes, I'll put it back exactly where I found it." I did a reel where I was holding a cast iron skillet, and I was like, when one of my friends come over and want to touch one of my vintage pants, "Yes, you can see the skillet, but you had to be exactly where you found it." It actually got some good traction. Some of the real audio from Friends is pretty good stuff. I could see how they generate revenue still to this day.
Sure. Oh, my God.
Have you ever dived into Friends? Have you ever watched it?
I know
Nikki,
started,
our sister, is big into Friends.
I have every episode recorded on YouTube TV.
Okay.
I think it's on HBO Max, too. I'm probably going to start. I started watching from season 1. I've never watched Friends. I'm one of those few people that apparently gets to enjoy it to its fullest extent for the first time ever. So we'll see how it goes. But
The Office is another one. You've never watched The Office?
I've watched episodes, but not in order, and not everyone, that's for sure. So it's just, I don't know, the silent, I for some reason I enjoy a laugh track.
Yeah, but you can get that dry humor. You have an elevated level of comedic ability.
Here's a today I learned. Did you know that NBC almost turned down The Office when it first came? I read that
in
one of the
books. Can you imagine a world without The Office, guys?
Jeff Zucker, who his name might sound vaguely familiar to you right now. He's in the news right now.
Jelly.
No.
Oh, it's Smuckers.
He was the head guy at CNN that quit a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
because but before
of
CNN, he was the head guy at NBC. He's the reason for the whole Conan versus Leno debacle.
That was his decision to do all that shit and mess everything up.
Yes.
But another thing he almost messed up in a routine meeting, a weekly meeting, was that he was getting ready to throw out this new show called The Office without an audience because it wasn't funny.
It was released in Europe first.
He didn't think it was funny at all. Oh, yeah. Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais,
right? Yeah.
Who's very funny.
Oh, he's great. He's in Grand Theft Auto 4. Did you know that?
Yeah. And
he's
Opie
in stand up.
So
he's
is Opie
stand-up.
Anthony.
In Grand Theft Auto 4?
Yep, they're on the radio.
Oh, really?
They did
a whole recording for it?
Yeah, one of the guys that did security for SiriusXM was one of the one of the big proponents of
developers,
of Rockstar Media.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's funny. Anthony. I have it on the computer,
Jim
but maybe I can play
it
later.
Bob Kelly's in it. All these dudes.
I'll have to listen to
Bob Kelly, who now follows me. Thank you, Bob, for following and check out the page. Whatever cast iron I can get you. He's a very cool Opie and Anthony comedian who I was very surprised to see follows me.
Here's a today I learned. We're going through today I learned because there's so many of these
today.
Crazy things that we didn't know. So I sorted the page by best of all time posts. So here's another one here. It says Microsoft.
Yeah.
Tried a 4-day work week in Japan as part of a work-life choice challenge by shutting down offices every Friday. I love that idea.
More people are doing that, you know.
Productivity, measured by sales per employee, increased by almost 40% compared to the same period the previous year. 40%. Can you imagine? All because how much better a mood are you in alone just because you know today's Friday? You know what I mean?
Just because you know you're dumping into a 4-day work week.
What if they were to do it on like a Wednesday? Because you got Monday, Tuesday. Oh, I'm off tomorrow. Thursday, Friday. Oh, I'm off tomorrow. That's what they should do.
That's what they should do.
And then you have Saturday, Sunday. That would make, I swear to God, it would make me a much more productive person. I know it would.
It would. Me too.
You got a comment
there?
Yeah,
I got a comment here from the seismologist guy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Gun Mick 32. Opie and Anthony was the funniest radio show of all time. Still listen to old episodes. Dude.
So does Kyle. You just opened up a can of worms if you want him to talk about
do
it.
Do not open up that can of worms. I know more about old Opie and Anthony than I should. I spent a lot of time. Today I listened to an episode of Opie and Anthony where Rich Voss was on, and they said, "Hey, Rich, what's your Twitter handle?"
Twiddle. What's a twiddle?
Rich is a comedian that they had on, very famous guy. And they said, what's your Twitter handle? And he goes, Comic630.
Okay.
And they said, that's not it. It's at Rich Voss. He goes, oh, yeah. He gave his password out. Comic630 was his password. But he used that password for everything. The listeners were hacking his Twitter, his Facebook, his PayPal account, everything.
My God.
And someone called in and said, hey, I have his Twitter. This is a funny line. He goes, hey, I got his Twitter password. And Anthony goes, hey, make his profile picture something really stupid. And Jim Norton goes, it already is. Some of that old Opie and Anthony stuff is great. I don't really like the raunchy stuff that they get into. There's some stuff that gets little too deep, like sexually. Like, I'm not really too into that. Like,
right,
but,
same.
But some of it is.
Saying,
but the we cannot argue enough that time was the golden era of saying whatever the fuck you wanted to say. That's why I like it.
Yeah.
Everybody asks me, why do you like Opie and Anthony?
Mid-2000s, early 2000s.
Why do you like XM or old Opie and Anthony so much? It's because that was a time in radio when you could literally say whatever you want.
XM was brand new. They were experimenting with it. So you could say whatever you want. So,
dude, they did everything.
Yep. Yeah.
They said and did everything.
And it put them on the map, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
So, I was today years old. Here's a long one for you. This is one that I found out myself.
Are
that
you listening?
Blows my mind. This is about Disney.
Okay.
This
is about the one
Disney.
You told me. I got to
focus.
Yeah.
So, in the movie Penguins of Madagascar, which I don't think is Disney, I think that's DreamWorks. But anyway,
DreamWorks. Yeah.
There's this scene where the three little penguins that star in the movie, they're little baby penguins, and they're standing at the edge of a cliff.
Okay.
There's a documentary filmmaker there filming a David Attenborough type of documentary.
Yeah.
Not
is
the penguins
it narrated
are,
by Morgan Freeman?
No. No. It's just depicting the penguins are out in the wild, but here's some annoying documentarians here taking pictures of us and annoying us.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So anyway, the filmmaker's there, and he's just like explaining how they're about to jump to their deaths, but they're not. They're just standing there.
Right, right.
So then he says, Gunther, give the penguins a shove. That clip is making fun of a 1958 Disney documentary called White Wilderness, where they actually did something like that. So Here's the clip from that
you
I was
have
just talking
the clip?
I have both. So here's
Man,
the clip.
You guys picked a good
here's
live.
Here's the clip from Disney. Here's the clip from Penguins of Madagascar, just for
the
an idea.
Penguins are frozen with fear. They know if they fall from this cliff,
that's Werner Herzog.
Yes, it is.
Surely die.
Grizzly bear.
Watch.
Gunther, give them a shove.
Harnessing the jellyfish we've trained.
Oh, they do. He does hit him over the edge. So they do hit him over the edge. This is significant because it makes fun of that 1958 Disney documentary called White Wilderness about the Arctic. Mm. And there's a scene where lemmings, which are, they look like woodchucks, but they live in the Arctic. They're rodents.
Lemmings?
Lemmings.
Okay.
There's this scene where the lemmings hurl themselves over the cliff in the ocean and swim towards the open sea to their inevitable death.
Okay.
They do this, we are told, because there's an overpopulation due to a lemming baby boom or something like that in the Arctic, and the lemmings are just stupid, so they're trying to find extra space, and they dive off a cliff and swim towards the open shore.
Really?
Piles of them. And the only problem is that lemmings don't do that at all.
They were
never
pushed.
No, they don't do that at all. They were pushed right off the edge. What actually happened was the documentary filmmakers backed a truck full of lemmings up to a cliff and pushed them off.
Holy shit.
It's the final precipice. This is the last chance to turn back.
Oh, my God.
See, there's like hundreds of them up against
this
cliff.
What's this channel? What's this YouTube video called so people can watch?
It's called White Wilderness. Look at them. They're just falling down to their deaths. Piles of them. It just looks like someone throwing rocks in the river.
They're not jumping.
No, you can tell they're not. You can tell they're not. They don't want to jump. Look, they don't want to jump.
They're dying?
Yes, because they're in the rip. They swim towards the ocean. They don't know what they're doing. There's piles of them out there. Look at that.
Oh my God.
And
Disney did that?
Yes. And the reason we're led to believe that they did this was because they wanted their documentary to align with what turned out to be a myth about lemming behavior, where they did that. That was a myth, but they wanted to get footage of it, and they weren't able to get footage of this myth, but they wanted the footage, so they pushed him off the cliff.
Get the hell out of here, guys.
So, Gunther, give them a shove.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that nuts? Today, years old, when I learned that Disney murdered a whole bunch of rodents in the Arctic just for a stupid documentary.
That was one of the worst things I've ever watched. Disney, what the hell?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was...
Yeah.
Oh,
someone commented on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's watching along.
White Wilderness. Hell? White Wilderness. They pushed the lemmings off the cliff. Can't believe that
Disney.
Happened. Yep. There's a lot of things
Did you
like
watch
that
the movie about, like, it was almost like a mini documentary about Walt Disney and how he became who he was? It was, I don't think...
We have to dig into that one day and
find
out
about
that.
I want to say Tom Hanks, but not Tom Hanks. It was a movie about...
Yeah. Tom Hanks played Walt Disney.
Yes.
You're right, in the movie.
That movie
I never
was
saw it.
Fucking awesome.
I wonder if it's on Disney Plus.
It is. That's where we watched it. It might not still be on Disney Plus. It was so interesting. He worked for a bunch of newspapers. He made cartoons. They're like, get this shit out of here. Who wants to see a mouse?
Was this the one? And then like they're pitching Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, and they're like, this is a stupid song. Like stuff like that. Like,
no, that was the one where they actually, the writer of Mary Poppins talks about why he wrote Mary Poppins.
Oh, okay.
That's different.
Okay.
This was more or less the
biography of Walt Disney.
The confluence of
the
his
story behind him.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And how many people turned down J.K. Rowling for publishing of Harry Potter? How many people turned down Henry Ford for patents on car parts? Like, how much do you kick yourself in the teeth when you hear about that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What did I turn down?
So,
you know, what could I have been?
I'm going to say we have one more today I learned.
Yeah, and then we're going to end the
live.
And
what I like about this is this technically isn't something we learned. We learned this here on the podcast from one of our guests.
From who? Tell me which guest, and then I'll say maybe if I know the
Leah.
I don't remember.
Today I learned that Billy Joel... never sells front row seats in order to see the real fans right in front of him. He gives them away to random people in the cheap seats so that the front row isn't always just wealthy people.
That's right.
How she
That's
ended up.
Awesome.
She did not have any confirmation as to how this dude came up and said, we have tickets for the front row. He wants people, regular people in the front row. Do you want to go to the front row? And she said, yes. But she didn't have any confirmation as to why.
Right.
That's why. He
That's
does
why.
That on purpose.
That's awesome.
That's a good move. That's a good guy.
Do you ever
That's
listen to
is.
New Jersey 101.5 on the mornings? Kylie Moore.
No. I've heard occasionally.
Kylie Moore is the producer for Dominski and Doyle. Yeah. She's like 28 okay. years old, but she also has the morning weekend slots.
Okay.
And she loves Billy Joel. She plays so much Billy Joel.
Well, that fits their format well.
Oh, for sure,
for playback.
Yeah. And I actually found myself enjoying a lot of Billy Joel songs that I didn't know were Billy Joel songs.
There's a lot of songs. He's actually quite talented,
like quite good music.
I like Billy the Kid a lot.
Yes.
That's a great one.
That's a great tune.
Yeah. I play that on piano once in a while. We're 117 Full Size Podcast. Today I learned. Now you can say you learned a lot today if you listen to this whole segment.
That's right.
So we'll be back in a little bit. I have a clip that went viral on TikTok from this kid in his car all the way to Jimmy Kimmel. Awesome story.
Ooh.
And
we are going to take a break.
You have a lot of stuff on your list too, but
Oh yeah. We have all kinds of stuff. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to post this live so you guys can catch up on the first half of the show. Doing a 2-hour extravaganza because we haven't had an episode this year so far. So thanks for hanging if you decided to watch. Check back. What's that?
I was going to say, we're on Spotify and iTunes everywhere. Normally get your podcasts. We've been doing this since 2016?
5 years.
Wow.
6 years.
Almost 6 years. This summer will be 6 years we've been doing this.
Wait,
that's crazy.
Since 2015? It's
15 or 16.
Then it's been 7 years.
Oh, my God. I think it was 16. 16.
Whatever. They're all there. They're all backlogged in Spotify. They bought our whole back catalog. Check it out. We're going to take a break. We're going to go back live in another 10, 15 minutes. Okay, we'll see you then. Take it easy. Served as a legend well for the folks they love to tell about when Billy the Kid came to town. Welcome to Full Slice Podcast. I see you have your black tie, your basketball shorts, and your Uggs. You need a haircut, and you haven't shaved in 5 days. Welcome aboard, my friend. Enjoy your stay.
Full Slice Podcast. Full Slice Podcast.
117.
117.
Is that where we're at?
That's correct. 117 Full Slice Podcast. I'm playing Lobotomy for Dummies right now because it's from the Flat Out franchise that I've been playing a lot of Flat Out again. So
saying you got it on the computer.
Yeah, I haven't played it in a long time. I finally set up my computer to play some video games, some new video games, and the first thing I did was install video games I played 14 years ago.
Which is what you should do.
14 years ago was 2008. That doesn't sound right.
No.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's correct, isn't it?
2008 sounds like yesterday.
2008 sounds just like a couple years ago. That was 14 years ago.
I was only 2 years out of high school. I don't know what the hell I was
doing.
Isn't
that nuts?
2008, I was probably working at Eden, maybe?
2008, I started high school. No. I was a sophomore. Shit.
Was I still taking care of Poppy when you were a sophomore?
I think so. Yeah. No, you didn't take care of him at the end. Didn't we have a live-in nurse with him at that point?
Yeah, but I still live there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, you weren't at home, that's for sure. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, this episode 117 Full Slice Podcast. We just wrapped up a nice segment about Today I Learned. Loved that.
Yes, I was today years old.
On Kyle's, on Cast Iron Kyle Live, we were talking to
all
those
what are you drinking
listeners there? I've never had a McCafe Frappe before.
Do you like it?
I do. I love the caramel fraps that I got from Starbucks. You get them, they're like $8.
Yeah.
But they're good.
Yeah,
and
they're great.
And Court was telling me that they have them at McDonald's. I didn't know they had them at McDonald's. I live under a rock. I don't know. I'm not the kind of person that likes to deviate from the things that I know are good. So, she grabbed a blended iced coffee with caramel and whipped cream on top.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Do you remember the frozen, you remember the coffee culotta from Dunkin'?
I miss it.
They fucked it up.
Yeah, they did.
They turned it into the frozen iced coffee.
And then the vanilla bean culotta.
And it tastes disgusting. It tastes chemically. It tastes nasty. They really messed it up. I loved that. I missed that.
Coffee culotta was a great thing. No whip.
I remember I used to get that on the beach a lot at Belmarco, right on 16th Avenue.
Yeah.
Grab the frozen coffee culotta.
Yeah.
Go chill on the beach. That was perfect for the morning at the beach. You kidding me?
Mm. There was a portion of that drink, like where it was not the best, not better. Like UPI. There was a what?
UPI we're gonna do soon.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, sorry. There was a point of that where it just tasted literally perfect.
Yeah.
There was a perfect spot.
Yeah. It was literally a coffee slushy is what it was. It's okay. You can close the door. Coffee slushy is what it tastes like. But now it just tastes like coffee slushy with bleach in it. It tastes awful.
It tastes so, chemically.
Yeah. So we did do the reason I said, we did that today. I learned because we were doing it backwards. We were going to talk to the folks on live first. So we got that out of the way. So now we're going to go backtrack here a little bit and hit up the what's trending here.
Let's take a look at what's trending on Full Slice Podcast.
So, we like to use UPI. They recently canceled their app from the App Store.
That's upsetting.
It is. It's upsetting. Okay, I like animal stories. I like when animals are not extinct anymore. Like, I think it adds to...
That's good feel-good story, yeah.
Yeah, so there's this bird called the Bat Falcon, which, like... technically didn't exist anymore.
Oh.
And now all of a sudden one was spotted on the 18th of February.
Really?
Where? United States Fish and Wildlife Service had said they spotted the first ever bat falcon in Texas. Not first one in Texas, but the first one they've ever seen.
Seen since, documented, yeah.
In the United States.
Wow, that's good.
This is the first recorded time that a bat falcon has ever been seen in the United States.
What does a bat falcon look like? Is it just like a bird that's all black? Okay, yeah.
It looks basically like a falcon, but it's
all dark.
Head.
Yeah.
Like the Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge said that the falcon was first spotted in December and is believed to be a juvenile due to its coloration. To find the parents will be a challenge, but the size and shape of this avian beak implies that it is likely a male and could likely reproduce.
Great. That's good for the bat falcon. That's awesome. Wait, I'm sorry. Did I miss where it is?
Texas.
It was in Texas? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Cool. That's great.
Let's
I love
see.
It.
We got another one here. Okay. Guinness World Record broken. Display of 3,000 origami pigs breaks Guinness World Record.
I thought you were going to say they broke. They all broke. All my pigs broke.
A Spanish nonprofit dedicated to promoting the country's pork industry broke again. Now, that's a good way to promote the pork industry.
That's true. That's a great way to do. What's with all the pigs? Well, now I'm in the mood for bacon.
3,000 origami pigs. They represented all sectors of the pork supply chain in Spain and invited members of the public in 19 cities across the country to create folded paper pigs, with the most origami swine coming from Seville, where 700 people turned up to create the paper art.
Oh my God! Did they all get the same instructions, or did some of them look like crap afterwards?
So here you go. They collected a total of 6,500, but only 3,000 were deemed high enough quality.
See, origami is hard.
Origami pig sucks.
Did they ever have you do that in class? Like, here's a square piece of paper, and today we're going to make a crane. And when you pull the leg, the head bobs. God, is that hard, man? I hate that.
The largest Guinness World Records confirmed that this event broke the world record for largest display of origami pigs.
Largest display of origami pigs specifically? Why couldn't they just have a category for largest group of origami sculptures? Why did it have to be? So does that mean I could do one about anything? I could do the largest group of origami sculptures of bat falcons?
Exactly.
Like, and that would get me in the book?
Yep.
That's not very creative of me.
No, it's not. Bat falcons?
Fat falcons.
A flag.
Kyle. I had diabetes. That's fat falcon. I had diabetes. That's Kyle Malkinson.
That was supposed to be my power up.
That's supposed to be my power pack. That's Kyle Malkinson.
Kyle Malkinson. I have diabetes.
While you look up the Scott Malkinson diabetes clip, a New York based auction house is offering up an unusual piece of sports memorabilia. They are offering up a cigar that Michael Jordan smoked.
Cigars Michael Jordan smoked.
Leland's, which specializes in specialized sports memorabilia, said the cigar was obtained by the co-signer when she met the former NBA star at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in fall 2021 and asked him for a photo. Before taking the photo, he put out his cigar in the ashtray, snapped a quick picture, and went about his day. After noticing Michael had left his cigar in the ashtray, the concierge decided to take...
Malkinson, for Christ's sake.
What's so bad about
hanging out with me? Shut up, Scott Malkinson. I'm Scott Malkinson. I've got a lisp and I've got diabetes. Hey, don't make fun of my diabetes. Don't make fun of my diabetes. I'm Scott Malkinson.
Kenny's my dude again. Pull it back, Kenny's laugh.
You guys are hanging out with him.
I love Kenny.
That's Scott Malkinson. You can get that. Hey, that was supposed to be my power-up pack. That was supposed to be my power-up pack. I'm Scott Malkinson. I have diabetes. Look, you guys might be fine with being outcast and hanging out with Scott Malkinson, but I'm not. You know what? At least Scott Malkinson has some self-respect. At least Scott Malkinson doesn't cave into peer pressure and start doing musicals. Scott Malkinson has a lisp and diabetes. Nobody's going to let him do a musical. That's enough, you guys. It's not cool. Lots of kids have diabetes, and you shouldn't be.
You shouldn't live by kids with diabetes. That's not cool. I'm Scott Malkinson.
Did you see the new specials on Paramount Plus, the hour-long specials where all the kids are adults? And I told you before, Cartman's a rabbi and Scott Malkinson's a priest. He said, "Hey, she worships God. I'm Scott Malkinson." It's so funny. He still does it. It's so funny. So did you have another story? Do you want me to give mine?
The half-smoked cigar went up for $500.
Wow. That's great. A half-smoked cigar.
Oh, God. Okay. Cyclists in stupidly hard California race were attacked by rampaging bulls.
Just random bulls? I saw this video.
Dude, that's brutal. I'm watching it right.
Oh! They were cycling, and they were like, "Oh, look at that cow. Oh, my God, that's not a cow. That's a bull."
The Bianchi Rock Cobbler is an extremely challenging 80-mile off-road bicycle race. It includes major changes in the surface of the route, an elevation gain of about 6,500 feet.
Right, so they're in the mountains and stuff like that.
Plenty of wild animals along the way.
Yeah.
The man I spoke with says he rode toward what he thought was a regular cow, only to find out too late it was an angry bull. So how are you feeling?
Oh! I am extremely sore. I've never been this sore.
Yeah, you see the video. You see a couple cyclists ride past the bull that they thought was a cow.
Right.
And as they're turning the corner, they get off their bike because they're far enough away, and they pull out the camera. And they're like, "Dude, that's a bull." And then another biker comes right up alongside the cow, a little too close. And the thing ducked its head right into the body of the bike, rips the bike out from under the guy, and then he goes flying, right? And then he goes after the bike again that's on the ground. Oh. Then he starts going after the dude again. I don't know how it wound up ending or how he got away from it. I don't know if you saw how he actually got away from it. The video
just
ends,
got up
I think.
And ran away.
Yeah, but that could have been way worse. Luckily, the bike was there to take a lot of the initial blow, but it could have been way worse. There's a lot of clips. I can't wait to see Jackass 4. Jackass Forever. There's a lot of stuff like that. There always is with Johnny Knoxville. There's always stuff.
Should go see it.
There's a picture of Johnny Knoxville with a bull. I guess it hit him in the legs. So there's a bull directly under him, and Knoxville's legs are in the air, and his head is upside down.
That was Jackass 3D.
No, it was Jackass 4.
The new one?
Yeah, because his hair is silver.
Okay.
So he's done a couple things with bulls before. Remember the one where they had the seesaw?
Yes.
Where they did the four seesaws?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yes, it was bull roulette or something.
Yep. So that was a good one.
This is a cool animal one, too. A rare animal called a Cotimundi.
Okay.
Was found wandering loose in North Carolina.
A Cotimundi.
Authorities in North Carolina said an unusual, extremely exotic animal was captured while wandering in Raleigh in the city. North Carolina called it
Raleigh,
Cotimundi.
North Carolina, yeah.
The Raleigh Police Department said that the Cotimundi, a South American animal, often known as a coti, was found wandering Tuesday night in a neighboring schoolyard. Cotis have long snouts like anteaters, but are very closely related to raccoons.
Raccoons. Sock raccoon.
Butterflies hatching raccoons. Cackloons.
Cackloon, butterflies hatching raccoons.
I did not read the origin of species.
The coti was taken to an exotic veterinarian. I will work on your animal. This is a coti.
Raccoons. Get those raccoons out of my garbage can.
Also have these rare butterflies that were hatched in the ass of a raccoon.
What are they? Butterflies?
Butterflies. These are a few of my favorite things. When that dog bites, when that bee stings, when I'm feeling sad.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not the French guy anymore. Raleigh currently allows for the keeping of exotic animals as pets, but the city is considering a new policy to regulate exotic animals potentially dangerous animals after a venomous zebra cobra escaped its owner in Raleigh City.
I'm glad you said cobra. I was like, a venomous zebra? Holy shit. Can you imagine running into anything that size with venom in it? That would be terrifying.
Can we go down a hole real quick? Remember?
Disproportionate? How about disproportionate defense mechanisms?
No.
For animals.
I remember us
that would be hilarious.
Talking about person that thought albino meant opposite.
Oh my god, we went on that for years.
Albino turtles are fast.
I said that. Albino snow owls, which would just be black owls. Yeah, that's what it was. I remember that. But then it skewed into an alternate tangent where we're just saying, what if animals just did the exact opposites of what they do? Like fish swim, they would fly in the air. No. Turtles would run really fast.
No, fish would be in boats upside
down. Oh, that's what it was. Fish would be sitting upside down in boats with a baby on a string. Oh, this poor baby. And then they would reel us in.
That was a hamburger to shoot or out a hamburger. Of the water. Whoa.
That would be an alternative to throwing little live bait in the river. No. Would be throwing a baby on a string. Be like, sloths. I gotta help it.
Sloths are awake for 13 hours.
Can you imagine that thing being quick? With its long legs and hooks, but instead it would look like that Momo thing or whatever. There's like, bum, bum,
bum, bum. Yes.
Oh no, well, what's that? What's that movie?
Yeah.
It would look like that.
Yes.
Sloth would look like that if it went really quick.
Remember you said albino raccoons help you clean up your trash?
Yeah. Yeah, albino raccoons help you clean up your trash. Can you imagine foxes running around during the day? That would be cool. What's another thing that animal is known for that would be weird if it did the opposite of?
Eagles are not the national symbol.
That was a great one. That was, wow. You broke my pen? Dude, the ink is going to come out all over that if you just rip the ballpoint. You ripped the ballpoint off of this pen. This is going to get all over the place.
Wait, I'll fix it.
I didn't even
do anything.
The ink is going to get all over your hands, and then you're going to touch shit. You already have ink on your hands. I'm throwing this out.
Here, put it in. It's from Lowe's. It's a nice pen.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's fine.
I didn't even mean to do that.
So, is that the end of your
Western albino argument? Snow owls are black, and they say what instead of who?
Bears. What are bears known for? I guess bears could be really nice and little. That would be cute.
And they
it?
Eat
little
vegetables.
Little sweet bears. We probably have them around instead
little
of,
sweet bears?
Instead of big mean bears. Yeah.
No, albino whales. Would be little.
Albino whales would be little.
Little whales?
Oh, that would be cute. Aww. What else?
Albino llamas would have short heads and long bodies.
Ew. It'd be like brontosaur, hairy brontosauruses.
It would be called the la. I'm trying to think of the opposite of the word llama.
The opposite of the word llama?
Shit.
What the hell are you talking about?
Why are you?
So I
it'll
have
be an Elma. Balsamic vinegar.
So here's what's trending I have here for us as well. I have one. So this is going to be a rare what's trending where we have a clip involved in it as well. So this is there's this one clip that is trending on TikTok, or it was in January. I saw it in January. And
oh,
liked
you
it,
told
so
me
I'm
about
surprised.
This.
It's like, so there's a TikTok video from this guy, Zach Montana. He and his father share a car, right?
Yeah.
So Zach jumps into the car to go to therapy or something, he says. But anyway, before he can even grab the aux cord to plug his phone in to listen to his own music, the CD starts playing of what his dad was listening to
in
the car.
Oh, no.
He's listening to the song, and he's like, wait a minute. That's my dad singing in that song.
Oh no.
And it was his dad. His dad was in a band 43 years ago, recorded this song, and nothing ever came of it, never did anything with it, whatever. So Zach makes his TikTok because he's so shocked, A, that it's his dad, and B, the song's awesome. He loves the song. It's a disco song. It's from the 70s.
Really?
Like, he thought it was awesome. So the TikTok went viral.
No.
And it went all the way to it's on Spotify now with over 500,000 plays. He got to perform the song live on Jimmy Kimmel.
What?
It's a good song. So first of all, I'll play the video of the original TikTok. We'll start at the beginning here. So this is the TikTok. Yes, that would be the fidget spinners. This is Zach Montana's TikTok video. So,
okay, I just got out of therapy, and that doesn't really matter, but I don't know. I said it anyways. I'm in my car, and my dad put music in here, and I was enjoying it, and I found out that he wrote it, in the 70s. It's really fucking good. Listen to this. What? What the fuck?
Megan Trainor commented on it.
What did she say?
It's so good.
Said, Megan it's so Trainor. Good, though. That's all she said.
That's him singing, too.
What the fuck?
So that video...
It gets better, too. Listen, he goes so...
So that song, so that video went viral. They eventually worked it onto Spotify. So it's on Spotify now with 542,000 plays so far.
Oh my God.
So
what's the band name?
The band, it's not the original band name, but they named it Fire City Funk is okay. The name of the band, which is a good song.
It's actually really good.
It's New Jersey 101.5.
It sounds
Henry.
Like that other one that we play, the other disco one.
Yes.
We play.
Rock yourself around like a big red bar. Exit song.
Yeah, this could be a good one too. A good one to play.
Sounds kind of Bee Gees-ish.
Yeah.
He didn't know his dad did this?
I guess not.
I don't believe that.
Well, he knew his dad did music, but I guess he never heard this CD of his. It's just a homemade CD.
Wow.
So he did get to eventually... So it's on Spotify. You can check it out now. The song, again, is called Surrender to Me. I love the song. I think it's very catchy. And Jimmy Kimmel loved the whole story as well. He interviewed them on Jimmy Kimmel, actually.
He interviewed the dad?
The dad and the son.
And joining us now are the father and son team responsible for it, Zach Montana and
his dad. I thought that was a wig. His dad has curly blonde hair.
Well, I guess the first question I have for your dad, Zach, is why do they call you Curly?
He's got all this curly hair.
A Southern Cowboy name.
No, congratulations on all the attention you've been getting. It's such a crazy thing. I heard the song has... more than 400,000 listens on Spotify right now.
He's already got another 100,000 since Thursday.
So, Curly, you recorded this song what year?
1978.
It's called Surrender to Me. You never released it. Why didn't you ever release it?
Well, it was very tough in those days to get a record deal, you know, especially with people like the Bee Gees and dominating the charts. So I... couldn't get it signed. So I just put it on a shelf for 43 years, and every now and then I would listen to it and go, hey, that was pretty good. You know, maybe it'll come out sometime. But
and then Zach
did.
Stumbles on a CD that's
he's
in your car.
Off.
Why do you have a CD player in your car, by the way?
Because I'm old.
Okay, all right. Did you put that CD in the car so Zach would hear it, or are you just listening to it yourself?
I was listening to it myself.
Zach, you were obviously surprised by this, right?
Yeah, it was nuts. I was going on a drive late at night, and I went to go plug my phone in to play music. And before I could even plug it in, it just like started playing. It just came on with the bass line, and it was like, "This is great!" Like, and then the vocals came in, and I was like, "Wait a minute, that's something. That voice is really familiar."
Isn't that
crazy?
Did
you ask your dad's permission before you posted it?
Nope.
No.
His dad thinks he's a rock star. Look at him.
I needed to hear it, so I put it out there.
Yeah,
so
he's
dressed like Elton
really
John.
Well, he was trying to break into the music business at the time. You know, in Zach's TikTok, he posted pictures of what his dad looked like back then, and you see he did have the whole big hair type of mantra going on.
Yeah.
But here I'll fast forward to the part where they actually play the song live on Jimmy Kimmel because it's pretty good. It's a really good story. But,
it is a good story.
I think
like
it's even
this.
Cooler that that Kimmel gave him the exposure to play it on the show.
Talk all the way to television with the song Surrender to Me, Fire City Funk.
And he let Jimmy Kimmel let his band be the backup band for it.
Why is the kid there? He didn't do anything.
Well, he's just part. He sings, so he's going to be a backup singer. Isn't that cool?
Love you tonight.
good and it's still good. Sings good. Isn't that cool, dude? I thought that was such a great story. I love that whole idea so much. It's just TikTok magic, man, you know? Seriously. It's just, I just think it's a great, such a catchy tune.
That's a real, how did you even find that?
I told you, I was one of the people that saw his video, that TikTok video was on my For You page on TikTok, and I came across it, and I was like, that's so cool, I hope something happens to this. And sure enough, here it is on Spotify.
Wow.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's a great story. So why don't we take another quick wrap up here for a quick break. I said break and wrap at the same time. And I know we had something else, but damned if it all fell out of my head right now. But that's okay. That's all part of the magic and the mystery of Full Slice.
Oh, I saw a railing that looks like a piano that I think you should buy.
Okay, that's cool. Episode 117, Full Slice Podcast. Stick around.
This is Todd Herrmann. You're listening to Full Slice Podcast.
Come on, ladies. Full Slice Podcast. One subscribe, two subscribe, three subscribes on SoundCloud.
Very, very cheap. Full Slice Podcast. Always free. Full always Slice
feeling,
Podcast.
Always free. Always feeling. Always
Full
free.
Slice always Podcast. Free. Very, very cheap. Come on, ladies. Full Slice Podcast.
Yeah, that was a little loud. Full Slice Podcast 117. We are wrapping up the end of a long-awaited episode. We haven't done one
going
since
over
December.
An hour.
Yeah, we're hour 12 minutes so far. Yeah, this is this is a longer episode. Just
catching up, man.
I have a lot of things that I have built up, and I'm just letting them all out right here, right now on the show, because I had a lot of good topics. This is going to be a good one, and there's going to be a lot of shitty ones after this, because I've used up all my good topics for today. Now, I have a couple clips. They're not exactly visual necessary to enjoy them, which is why I bring them on the show here, not like a guy parachuting.
One
Kyle,
tease.
The silent video.
What guy parachuting?
Remember the guy that used bed sheets or something to try to fly or something, and he fell to his death? And you're like, this is going to be a great video for the podcast. It was a fucking silent video.
I forgot about
it. It was a silent footage from like the 20s or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's something that's not silent whatsoever, though we wish it were. This is February 19th, 2018. This is a 2020 NBA All-Star game.
Yes.
Huh? This is posted in February 2018, but the caption says, okay, never mind. Anyway, this is the All-Star game here.
You know what they do with the All-Star game? Do you know what that is? It's where they take like players, like all different players from all teams and put together like...
Okay, so before this game, sing the national anthem. I started thinking about the national anthem and bad versions of the national anthem because we just had the Super Bowl last weekend. So This is just the whole thing is just, I don't know if she's taking creative initiatives or what she's doing, but she's ruining it.
I hate when artists.
So let's, this is Fergie singing the national anthem at the NBA, the NBA All-Star Games 2018.
Oh, say, can you see?
Not too bad.
By the dawn's early light, what so proud?
The best is
the reactions,
the people watch, the players sitting there listening to this. You can tell in their head, they're like, what the hell are we listening to?
That's Steph Curry.
Whose red stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
McCollum. LeBron James.
So gallantly streaming in the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air.
Prue? Gave Prue.
It gets better. Look, they're laughing. The players are laughing at it.
Is that Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah.
Oh. I fancy. I feel bad for the guys standing back there holding the flag and everything all fancy and arms, the like guards and stuff. Like, that one part was enough to make it worth never hearing ever again. So,
true.
The other clip I wanted to play,
the cat throwing up.
This is just funny because it's a girl. It's a girl making a TikTok, and she says, "Oh well, so there's so many people." I guess she made a video at one point complaining about cleaning up throw up from her cat, and then there's people commenting saying, "Well, you shouldn't have a cat because you need to be used to cleaning up throw up and da 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 da, yeah, or else you can't take care."
Yeah.
So she's making fun of people doing that, and in the background of her doing that, her cat starts throwing up again.
Oh no way!
And just listening to the sound.
You shouldn't be having a cat if you can't handle a little bit of puke and farting. Oh, so you're right, but honestly,
you don't see a cat.
Like, maybe he shouldn't have lied to me. Maybe you shouldn't be having a cat if you can't handle a little bit of puke and farting. Oh, so you're right, but honestly, like, maybe he shouldn't have lied to me.
He's like, what the hell's wrong with my cat? That's cat throwing up. And that's been 117 Full Size Podcast. Of course we're going to end on a cat throwing up, aren't we? That's exactly what we should end up. That
we shouldn't do anything else.
That's very typical of us, is it not? So
yes.
So that's it. Cat threw up. That's what we got. Oh, I gotta do this though. I gotta do this one. Yeah,
I like this.
Full Size Podcast 117. We're back. We're doing more episodes. We got a lot more coming up. Of course, we're not stopping anytime soon. At least I don't think so.
No.
We're gonna have some guests on later as well. Thank you for listening. If you still remember that we exist after all this time.
Oh, we got people. We like it.
Oh, good. I feel better now. All right. That's a wrap.
Yeah, boy. You got the RZA right here from the almighty Wu-Tang Clan. Chilling at the crib, you know what I mean? You are listening to...
The Full Slice Podcast.
The what?
The Full Slice Podcast.
The what?
The Full Slice Podcast.
The Full Slice Podcast. That means when you get a pie, you can get a whole slice. The full slice. Not a half a slice. Not a quarter of a slice. Not an eighth of a slice. But the full slice.
Podcast.